Are you happy with the way that you currently eat? Are you happy with the way that you move and exercise, your level of activity? Are you happy about the amount of time that you spend scrolling through social media? Are you happy about the way you're treated, the way that you treat others? Now, these are all things you can ask yourself and look at, which will probably give you much more insight as to why being overweight makes you unhappy and why the changes would be beneficial.
Losing weight isn't easy, and some days we can feel like we need some extra help. Welcome to the Weight Loss Warrior podcast, the show where we share inspiring real-life success stories from normal, everyday people like you and I. Listen to how each of our guests managed to overcome their personal challenges to lose the weight they wanted, as they talk about the secrets to their success and give great advice that you can benefit from. Become part of our tribe and use the Weight Loss Warrior podcast as your source of motivation and support to help you on your weight loss transformation. And now, your host and friend, Carl Radley.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Weight Loss Warrior podcast. My name's Carl, I'm your host, and thank you for joining me today. So for anybody who listens to the podcast on a regular basis, you'll realize that this year I have been doing at least once a month a more coaching related episode in which I don't have a guest and I just waffle on for the duration of the episode. And maybe you listen to all of it, maybe you listen to part of it. But today is going to be one of those, but slightly different for reasons I'll explain now. So in our lives, I think we show up differently depending on the audience, depending on our reasons and motivations. And what I mean by that is that perhaps I show up differently on social media compared to how I show up with my wife and kids. I might show up with my colleagues at work differently to how I show up as a coach. And so I think, and for anyone who knows me will know that I seem to always create car analogies here. But if you think about an emotional motorway and there being different lanes, I think you have different lanes in which you pursue, drive along, but sometimes they cross over. And today, although it's a coaching episode, something's happened in my personal life recently that has kind of crossed over into the way that I think about everything. And so I think it's important to really share that, as important as it is to usually keep them separate, because when I show up as a coach and do coaching calls, working with clients, it's not fair that I'm carrying baggage from my personal life, or it's not fair perhaps at work that I'm thinking about coaching. So these various lanes that we have, it's normal that they blur to some extent, but at the same time, we also protect ourselves and others by keeping them separate. But recently I lost a very close friend from school. His name's George, and he had an accident at work and unfortunately lost his life. And I'll be honest, it's kind of hit me. And although we haven't spoken or seen each other so much as adults, and especially in the last 10 years, from about the age of 14, 15, right the way through up into my 20s, we were the best of friends. And he was a big part of my life. And him passing away recently has really made me think about the fact that life is short, the fact that we often are scared to do things that we really want to do for fear of how people might judge us or perceive us. And when I think about George, he was somebody who, well, first of all, he had a huge heart. He was just a really, really nice person. But then he also didn't really care too much about what people thought about him. He was honest, he was helpful, he was genuine. And sometimes people thought he was a bit strange, but he was true to himself. And it's helped me to realize how important that is. And not only that, it's helped me to realize and made me, kind of provoked me into thinking that our time here really is quite limited. And I think as well, we have to make the most of it. And this is why I wanted to talk about this today, because from a coaching perspective, I think it's very, very important. So some of you who know me a bit closer know that I'm from Essex, know that I'm from Braintree. And George was somebody who in more recent years had become quite well known. He was on Gogglebox with his mum and stepdad, mum Lynn and stepdad Pete. He was also on Celebrity Big Brother some years ago as well, on the back of his fame from Gogglebox. But living outside of Spain, it was strange because I didn't watch Gogglebox. I barely watched Celebrity Big Brother. And so for me, he was still just George. And I think, to be honest with you, for the majority of people who know him from school, he was always just George. Then other people in his life who got to know him later, got to know him through being on Gogglebox, will obviously know him as George from the telly. So it's quite interesting when I think about that and how he was seen by different people in different lights. But the one thing I think that we all have in common is that we loved him for who he was. So him passing away suddenly like that, especially only being 40 years old, has been, like I said, quite a big hit. And I guess I'm coming to the realization that life is very short and can be taken away from us at any moment. And then when I think about this in relation to the podcast, the people I speak to who have either lost weight or are trying to lose weight, people who are struggling, it makes me just want to help people even more. And also try and help people to realize that if you don't do it now, you might never get the chance to do that. And if something like being overweight is making you feel trapped or stopping you from living a life that you wish you had, then really, what are you waiting for? You know, why are you not doing the thing you need to do? Because at some point, and I'll get onto this in a little bit, it will be too late. And now I don't want this to be a morbid and depressing conversation today, and I don't want to put people off or make you think that I'm having a go at you for this. It's really, really not my intention at all. It's actually all the opposite, and to try and encourage you to find the courage and strength to make those changes that you want to. But ultimately, I think we have three choices when it comes to our personal situation. And the first option is to change. The second option is to accept where you are and be okay with that and not change. And the third option, the really powerful one, is to accept who you are and change. And I recently recorded an episode with somebody called B, and she was fantastic. And she said that the key to her losing weight was, first of all, accepting who she was. Now, this really leans into mindset and the fact that to make a sustainable weight loss journey successful, I believe that you have to have your mindset in the right place and you have to work on yourself, and then the weight loss will happen as a result of that. And I stand by that. And I think in my own journey of losing weight, in success stories, you know, coming up for 100 that we've shared on the podcast, working with clients and seeing the success that they've had, it's almost always related to growth on your personal mindset and mental health being in the right place to enable you to lose weight. Because otherwise, all that happens is you might lose weight temporarily, you might lose weight for part-time, you know, for a wedding, for a holiday. We always use those examples, and then it'll just come back because ultimately you haven't done the work on yourself and really understood the reasons why you had troubles or challenges in the first place. So on today's episode, I'm not going to cover all three. I'm going to cover the first option of change and explore why being brave enough to change can really give you a new lease of life. I think when we think about this option one, to actually change, to improve ourselves, to lose the weight, to improve and become healthier, I think it's normal to be unhappy with our current situation. I know I was very unhappy with my current situation for a long time until I decided to make a change. I speak to people every day who, in the same way, are also unhappy with their own situation. So the thing to think about here is, what is it that's making you unhappy? Are you emotionally unhappy of your appearance? Is it when you look in the mirror, you see yourself and you feel unattractive? But you have to realize as well that that's because you've made a decision that you're not attractive. Or you've made the decision when you see yourself that you're not worthy or you're ugly. That's just your opinion. That's your belief. Now, obviously, it's the most important belief you'll have because it's you and it's how you end up resonating and feeling about yourself. But you also have to be willing to realize that that is just an opinion, and there's probably many people, normally everybody, who doesn't share that same opinion of you. But by changing that opinion, changing the way you feel about yourself, changing that thought process of perhaps instead of thinking of yourself as unattractive to actually caring about your body and embracing who you are, you have the ability to actually feel a lot better about yourself as well. It's also important to know exactly what it is you want to change specifically. For me, losing weight is a result of making changes and strengthening your mindset, as I just said earlier. We focus on losing weight as the thing we want, but ultimately it's the behaviors and processes that we create that become the outcome. And what I mean by that is if you're somebody who wants to lose weight, we think and attach happiness to that. You know, when we lose weight, we'll be happy. But really, losing weight is the outcome of many processes and behaviors that need to change. But unless you look at those processes, unless you look at those behaviors, it can become almost impossible to get that outcome of losing weight. So I think more helpful questions to ask yourself when you think about weight loss and wanting to actually make a change is, are you happy with the way that you currently eat? Are you happy with the way that you move and exercise, your level of activity? Are you happy about the amount of time that you spend scrolling through social media? Are you happy about the way you're treated, about those close to you, or the way that you treat others? Now, these are all things you can ask yourself and look at, which will probably give you much more insight as to why being overweight makes you unhappy and why the changes would be beneficial. There's one useful tool called the Wheel of Life, which for anybody who would like to try this, if you visit www.weightlosswarriorpodcast.com/wheel of life, I'll give you a completely free PDF download where you can do this activity yourself. And basically what it is a wheel looking at various aspects of your life, and you have to score them from 0 to 10, 0 being the absolute worst case scenario and 10 being the absolute best case scenario in which there's no improvement even possible or wanted or needed. And it covers things like health, relationships, exercise, your professional career. And it kind of forces you to look at each of those individually and give yourself a rating of where you are today and where you would like to be in order to feel happy. And the benefit of this is it's quite insightful to actually highlight areas of your life that either are suffering or thriving or maybe need the most improvement. And it's not always the thing that we think it is in the first instance. So for anybody, like I said, who wants to try this, I'll put up a video on the website where you go to weightlosswarriorpodcast.com/wheel of life and explain how to do that. And it can help you decide exactly where you'd like to make changes in your life. Because like I said, weight loss is the outcome, but it's a result of making changes in areas of our life that either don't make us unhappy or there's a chance to improve, to become healthier or improve our well-being that could then have that impact of being able to lose weight long term. Another thing about the Wheel of Life is that it can be quite insightful to give you a chance to understand why you maybe have lost weight multiple times and then regained it, or failed to reach a goal having never reached it. But it lets you look at, it doesn't let you look, but it questions those areas to look at why potentially they're failing or how that could attribute to you not being able to lose weight successfully. So if your relationships around you are failing, if you're unhappy in those, you may be turning to food for comfort. So would it be better, and this is a challenge to you, would it be better to stop comfort eating or fix the issues that you have in your relationships so that you don't feel the need to comfort eat? That's what I'm talking about here, getting really to the root cause, the source of the issue, as opposed to trying to stop it halfway through, because that only happens temporarily. It's an example that was given to me. If you have a hose that's gushing water out of the nozzle, then fold it in half. You haven't stopped the water flowing. You're just temporarily stopping it from coming out the end of the hose until you let go. And then that buildup of pressure, everything that's there, all that water, it comes flooding out. Whereas looking at the source, looking at the real true reasons why you're struggling, it allows you to turn that tap off. I think another really good way to visualize this is if you consider plants. Now, if somebody buys you a plant, you buy yourself a plant, you've got plants in the house, in the garden, and that plant isn't growing properly. It's looking a bit yellow. The leaves are starting to drop off. The flowers aren't coming out. I don't know. I'm not much of a gardener, so bear with me here. But if that plant isn't flourishing in the way that it should be, you don't just think stupid plant and throw it in the bin. You nurture it. You look for a better place to put it, maybe by a different window that has more sun. You look at the soil that it has and perhaps improve that. Maybe you water it more often, maybe you water it less often. But you look for the environment that it's currently in and changes you can make to that environment in which it has the opportunity to grow and to become better. And I think that it's exactly the same for us. However, instead of changing our environment, instead of looking for the opportunities to improve a situation that allows us to flourish and thrive, we blame ourselves. We call ourselves a stupid plant or equivalent. We beat ourselves up. We're harsh on ourselves. And ultimately, we don't get that good result. In fact, it has a negative effect on us and probably makes us feel worse, which in turn takes us further away from our objective or goal to lose weight and really reach a happier and healthier life. Earlier, I said that, you know, weight loss being a result of focusing on other areas of your life and it being an outcome. I also mentioned processes and behaviors. Now, if you think about it, trickling down, outcome is there right at the very top. And to get that outcome of losing weight, you have to have processes in place that align to that outcome. And then below that, you have behaviors. Most behaviors are the things you do on a daily basis that align to the process, which then give you that outcome of losing weight. So if you take weight loss as your outcome, it's probably attached to a feeling of being happy and confident and secure as a person. But just know that for each outcome, there's different processes, there's different behaviors, and each of those support that. And one outcome doesn't necessarily equal succeeding in another. So if you want to lose weight and be happy, I look at those as two different outcomes. You want to lose weight and you want to be happy. But don't take for granted or assume that just by losing weight, you are automatically going to be happy. Because this is a trap so many of us fall into. And quite often, if we lose weight, we reach our goal. We expect to be happy, but we're not. And then as a result, we realize that, okay, having lost all that weight hasn't made us happy. Well, what was the point? And then as a result of that, we start eating more. And we don't care and take care of ourselves in the same way because, well, all that effort was for nothing. We still don't feel happy. So you have to really separate these things out into different outcomes. Now, it's not to say that processes or behaviors don't intertwine or help each other. But being very clear on those different outcomes is absolutely key to making long-term change. So my advice in terms of making long-term change and really profound change that impacts your whole life is to really focus on one outcome at a time and know exactly what needs to happen in order to achieve that. It's really important to create a really deep sense of closeness to that goal, to that outcome. And let's assume that you're listening to the Weight Loss Warrior podcast because you want to lose weight. So let's focus on that as one specific outcome. Why do you want to lose weight? Why is it so important to you to lose weight? Why? How's it going to help you? How has being overweight created problems in your past? How is it creating problems for you now? And what would the consequence be for you if you don't make a change and you continue to be overweight for the rest of your life? It's so important to understand exactly why your body weighs more than the amount that you'd like it to. It's easy for us to kind of hate on each other and say horrible things about ourselves. Oh, I'm overweight because I'm a failure or because I have no willpower or because it's too hard. The truth is no. It's not those things. The simple hard truth is, if you look at it logically, the reason you're overweight is because you consume more calories on a daily basis than your body needs to function or than it can burn in a day. And it ends up storing those extra calories as fat. That is, from a biological perspective, why you're overweight. But which sounds better if you look at that and weigh up the two next to each other for a second? on one side, you have yourself saying, I can't lose weight because it's too hard, or because I'm a failure, I'm terrible, I'm awful, I'm unattractive, I'm not worthy, I always screw things up, I'm just meant to be fat. Or you look at it from a more logical point of view and say, well, the reason I'm overweight is because I'm currently consuming more calories than my body needs on a daily basis. I know which one I prefer. I know which one, for me, sounds the kinder. But not only that, the more truthful. Because these things you say to yourself, the negative self-talk that really destroys our soul, it's just a belief. And I say just a belief, you know, I say it very cautiously there, because although it's just a belief, it's a belief that, you know, we hold so closely to our heart that it impacts our whole life. But it's not a fact. We don't fail at everything. I'm sure there's lots of examples in which you turn up and you are supportive and helpful and great and amazing. But yet we choose not to see those because our brain is functioning in a way that it has a negative bias. And the ironic thing is that it's there to help us survive. But at what cost? So what I'd suggest is actually trying that. Try looking at it from a logical, factual perspective. You are currently overweight because on a daily basis, you've been consuming more calories than your body needs. And the only thing your body can do is to store those extra calories as fat. And that's it. Why look for a more painful reason? Why look for something that's more emotionally detrimental to yourself? I've found that by being neutral and much more matter of fact about being overweight, you have an opportunity to explore a solution without being in your own head, without self-sabotaging. Because if you come from a place of hating yourself for the way you are, changing yourself becomes very difficult because you have no confidence in your ability to do that. I hope that makes sense, because it's so important to understand that if you are down on yourself, if you are not your biggest cheerleader, then ultimately you create a self-fulfilling prophecy. You hate yourself, you think you're a failure, you think you're never going to do it. And as a result of that, you never do it because you tell yourself you can't. Whereas if you look at things and take things as a bit more matter of fact, from a point of view that if you look at it and say, this is why my body is the way that it is, you can then start looking at a solution. And when you look at it from the point of view that I'm currently consuming more calories than my body needs on a daily basis, which is why I'm overweight, the solution is really quite simple, don't you think? I simply just need to consume less calories than my body needs on a daily basis, and then I'll lose weight. So when you look at it like this and say to yourself, okay, in order to lose weight, I just need to eat less calories than my body requires on a daily basis, you can start to think about ways in which you can do that. Now, you can also boost the calorie burn by adding movement or exercise, but for me, that would be a secondary process to complement your way of eating. So you have your outcome goal at the top, lose weight, and then the process would be to consume less calories than my body needs, or to exercise on a regular basis. But primarily, I'd focus on the calories, because doing exercise, you know, can be great for many other reasons. And if your outcome goal is to feel happier about yourself, to feel less depressed, you know, become happier, de-stress, disconnect, improve your general health, then exercise is amazing for that. And that could perhaps be your primary process for that secondary outcome, or that different outcome of feeling happier or feeling healthier. But let's not confuse them. Let's keep them separate. Because if you think about it, going for a run, you might burn 400 calories, fantastic. But believe me, it's much easier to reduce your calories by 400 on a regular basis than it is going for a run. So once you've established and come to terms with the fact that in order to lose weight, you simply, and I say simply very, very compassionately, because all of what I'm saying here, I realize if it was so simple, nobody would be overweight. And it isn't that simple, but I just want to start looking at it from a more factual process, first of all, because ultimately then it makes it easier to work on the mindset. So once you've come to terms with the fact and become okay that in order to lose weight, you need to be in a calorie deficit, consuming less calories than your body needs on a daily basis through choosing a way of eating that's healthy and beneficial to this outcome, and it's aligned to that goal. You then need to look at the behaviors that will align to that process of being in a calorie deficit. So we're going down a tier now. Some examples of that, and from my own journey from when I've lost weight, included things like tracking the calories in the foods that I eat, following a recognized eating plan known for weight loss. Now, I personally didn't follow any kind of weight loss group like Slimming World or Weight Watchers. I didn't follow keto. I've been quite liberal with what I've eaten and just aimed to hit a protein target and a calorie target. And that's worked for me. That was my process. I knew the calories I needed each day. I knew how much protein I wanted. And that was it. Sometimes my meals were repetitive. Sometimes they weren't very interesting. But that was a process that worked for me. And it helped me achieve that goal and outcome of losing weight. And with regards to finding an eating plan that works for you, please be careful, because tracking calories, it isn't for everybody. I get it. It's quite complicated to begin with and time consuming. But at least it gives you a really good idea of exactly where you are on a daily basis. Other plans perhaps don't give you all of the information. And for some reason, when I say not all the information, I mean they don't educate you about nutrition. And for some people, that's actually needed, that's required. If you're somebody who feels overwhelmed with being overweight and you just want to get started, you don't need more complexity than necessary. So if you're told, okay, if you eat this, this, and this, you'll lose weight, fantastic. So following things like Weight Watchers or Slimming World, it gives you the guidelines and process to follow to achieve that outcome. Do I think that long term it's something that you should follow for the rest of your life? Maybe not, but that's just my opinion. Ultimately, if it helps you get to your outcome of losing weight, you don't have to stay on that plan forever. You can then educate yourself about nutrition. But like I said, for some people, it's so difficult. And almost to the point of obsessive, where all you think about is food, all you think about is your next meal, all you think is about what you can eat. Have you been good? Have you been bad? It's tiring. And that in itself can be the reason why you end up giving up on the diet that you're following, because it's just too much for you. You don't care. You need comfort. You end up eating a pizza for the sake of eating a pizza and then hate yourself for it afterwards. But it's just because you are overwhelmed. And there will be difficult days, and you just have to understand that that doesn't mean that you've thrown away all of your efforts, and you can just keep going. And with time and practice, those days that feel really bloody difficult, they reduce, and your ability to bounce back from those difficult days becomes easier. And that for me is the key. It's not so much about will you fail, it's about when you fail, how quick can you get back into it. And that was for me pivotal, because I was so scared of messing up on my diet that when I did mess up, I was like, well, screw it. I've done it now. I've messed up. That's it. All the effort lost. Whereas now it's a case of, okay, and I don't even see it as screwing up. That's how my mindset has shifted. So in terms to achieve that process of being in a calorie deficit, we then have to look at the behaviors. So for me, it was a case of looking at the things I could do that would help me achieve that process of being in a calorie deficit. I looked at things like knocking drink on the head, or reducing it to once per week. Maybe swapping some of the foods that I knew were higher in calories or less nutritional for me. Looking at the moments in which I was more likely to start snacking. Things like late at night, once everyone else is in bed. And this was my worst. This was my crutch for me. One of the hardest things, or at least I'd say most impactful things for me on my journey, was once everyone else was in bed, I wouldn't be hungry, but I would go and snack on things in front while I was watching TV. So I'd wait for everyone to be in bed. Sometimes I'd go and buy a chocolate bar and hide it until people had gone to bed, and I'd get it out, and I'd destroy the evidence by hiding it in a wrapper, putting it in sometimes my work bag and throwing it in the bin on the way to work. So many different things. I'd feel bad about it. And I know that that resonates with a lot of people who secret eat or binge eat. But for me, it was something that I knew was having a big impact, because no matter what I'd done during the day, no matter whether I'd counted all my calories, whether I'd remained in a deficit, I could then completely undo that and put myself into a surplus, could undo the efforts, and not only that, I just feel like crap for doing it. By then sitting there at 11:30 at night, eating a whole bar of Milka and some cookies. I didn't need it, didn't particularly enjoy it either. There were times when I was eating it thinking, you know, why am I doing this? But then the habit was there and I was doing it. And this is why I'm saying it's so important to look at your mindset, because if you don't, you just find yourself back there a few days later when you don't feel as motivated or the willpower is not as strong as it had been. So have a look at the things that you do if you really want to change that don't help you and don't align to that process of being in a calorie deficit, but won't align to your goal of losing weight as the outcome. Another thing as well that we often overlook, or we just choose not to look at, is that for so many people listening, so many people who are trying to lose weight in their 30s, 40s, 50s, I almost guarantee it's your first time trying to lose weight. There's a few people who have never been overweight in their life and have something happen and find themselves in that situation. But I think for the large majority of people, being overweight is something that you've attempted to control or change multiple times and had failed attempts. For some of us, it's been spanning over years. I've been overweight since I was a teenager. At least I was overweight since I was a teenager until I decided to do something about it. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm by no means perfect. I'd still love to lose a couple more kilos, but I'm not looking for perfection. I'm just looking for the situation in which I'm happy with myself and recognize I'm living a healthier life, which I'm doing and I feel great about. And that's what I want for my clients when we're coaching. And sometimes that pursuit of perfection is so detrimental that it shoots us in the other direction. But the thing is about these failed attempts is we don't look at them in detail. We don't decide, or we don't discover or look at why we failed our last 4 or 5 attempts following this plan. We don't look for the patterns. We don't realize that, you know, it always happened after 4 weeks that I gave up on my diet, or it always happened in the new year that I'd start and then fail, or so many factors. But by stopping and looking at those attempts, you've got data there that can really help you. And then once you have that data and you analyze it, almost like a detective looking at the evidence that you have, looking for those patterns, looking at it from a more logical instead of emotional perspective, you then have that opportunity to use that to make changes for your future that are aligned to the processes and outcomes that you want. Now, I don't want to be pessimistic by saying this, and I know it's quite a buzzword or buzz phrase on social media at least, but the expression, if you change nothing, nothing changes, I think is so true. And how many people listening to this have tried to lose weight? It hasn't gone well. You've spent some time, you know, feeling awful about it. And then either from desperation or feeling motivated, started again, but done exactly the same thing as you did the previous time. But then felt surprised when it ends in misery and failure. But the thing is, if you're not changing the process, if you're not changing something that you do there, the behaviors, if you're not working on your mindset, then it's going to end in the same way. And I'm sorry to anyone who's listening this, thinking, well, that's not very optimistic. That sounds, you know, like you're just beating us up. I'm not at all. I'm really trying to help you to see that really you have to look at your journey. You have to understand why you are where you are today, where you want to be, and why it hasn't worked in the past. And don't get me wrong, it's not an easy thing to do. And not only that, you have to have a really, really bloody honest conversation with yourself and be willing to feel uncomfortable about that. And it's not easy. And so many of us avoid it for so long. But then you have to choose where you want to be uncomfortable. Do you want to be uncomfortable with going in that same cycle of trying to lose weight, failing, and then feeling miserable? Or are you willing to be uncomfortable looking at the reasons why in the past you've not lost weight so that you can learn to lose weight in the future? Another thing to understand is the reason why you want to change. And I mentioned this earlier. But this last couple of weeks, losing my mate George, really thinking about my own life, we were 2 months different in age, you know. He'd just turned 40 in January. I'm 40 now. And it's really made me think about that life's short. It's so short, and it can be taken from us any single moment. But yet we choose to live in this fantasy that we have all the time in the world, or that we don't need to do it now because we can do it next Monday. We can start again next month. We'll start again on January 1st. But the harsh, horrible reality of that is that for each of us, there'll be a time when we have our final January 1st, our final Monday, and we may not know about it, but yet we choose to carry on and act as if it's going to last forever. And like I said, I'm sorry if this is triggering for people. I'm really sorry if this sounds like I'm down in the dumps, but I've never really looked at my journey. I've never really looked at mortality in this way. I've been so fortunate that I've not lost many close friends. Well, apart from one girl who I absolutely adored, and we were good friends since, you know, school. Passing away a few years ago through illness, I've been very lucky not to lose close family members. And so I've never really been challenged by this. And for anyone listening who has been through the trauma of a close relative, partner, loved one, friend dying, I'm sorry. You know, and like I said, I hope this isn't coming across as using that as currency or leverage to force you into losing weight. That's not my intention at all. My intention really is to learn from that and understand that we have the opportunity still. We're still alive. And that the amount of times this last week, I've found myself in a situation where normally I'd be annoyed about something. Normally I'd complain or think it was unfair or think, why me? And I've stopped myself and I said, Cole, you're alive. You are alive. And that is a luxury that my mate George and so many other people don't have. And it's really helped. Well, it's helping, at least. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but it's really helping for me to change my own perspective on things. So I'd encourage you to look at why it is you want to change. What would be the benefits? Why it's important to you? Because ultimately, even if you haven't experienced close personal loss, like I just mentioned, there's one of two things that are going to provoke us to make a change if we do decide to make a change at all. And it's going to probably be a close personal loss of someone we love, or our own situation will become bad enough that change becomes one part of a difficult ultimatum in which we either do it or we don't. And the consequence of not changing, well, it's not good. And as I said, life is short. A life in which you are unhappy, waking up daily wishing things were different, or that you had a better quality of life physically, mentally, or both, that's long. That's a really long, slow grind just to get through each day. So I guess my question to round this up for you is, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for an emotional trauma to shock you into making a decision to change? Are you waiting for some bad news of your own that scares you into having no option but to change? Because there's an alternative as well that quite often we overlook and don't consider. We have the chance to change because we want to have a happier, healthier life. We have the chance to change because we owe it to ourselves. And I know this is going to sound morbid, but you can make a decision to change right now. Before fate forces your hand one way or another, or ultimately it's just too late for you, or me, or anybody. And I know it sounds harsh, and like I said, I'm I'm worried, if I'm completely honest, that a few people are going to listen to this episode and go, what the hell is Carl going on about? But then at the same time, I feel so passionately about this. I feel that it's so important that I'm willing to take that risk. I also don't want you to think either I'm trying to shame you or guilt you or scare you into losing weight. Because ultimately you will know if you want to lose weight or not. And if it's something that you want bad enough, if it's something you truly, truly want, then I'm sure some of this will resonate with you and you'll understand where I'm coming from. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to have a really deep, honest, probably uncomfortable conversation with yourself. But it's probably a conversation that you have avoided every single time you've planned to lose weight and it hasn't gone your way. The great news is that you can use this to fuel your journey one day at a time. You can use your fears and obstacles and failures as lessons. Use them to create success. But you need to be willing to face the discomfort and even practice becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's another thing that's often thrown around in coaching sessions, you know. Become comfortable with being uncomfortable, but it's so true. And what I've discovered through my own coaching, what I've discovered through my own journey of losing weight and in other areas of my life as well, is that when you are willing to really put yourself out there, you're so much closer than you think you are. And on the other side of it is such a rewarding success and achievement. But you just need to push yourself out a little bit further. So I'm going to start to bring an end to this episode. And I'd love you to give yourself a moment, okay, to ask yourself, first of all, do you really want to change? And if you do, why? Why is it so important to you that you change, that you lose weight, that the outcome of being healthier or weighing less is important to you? And then what I would say is, don't let yourself at that moment be put off by that negative voice that's going to creep into your head, and I promise it will, saying, yeah, but you're going to fail again, or you were just born to be overweight. It's just the way it is. You can't do it. Do your absolute best to write down the reasons why you want to lose weight, regardless of that voice. Because that voice ultimately is lying to you. There's no evidence to say that you are going to fail in the future. There's nothing that is factual to say that you cannot do it. Okay, you might have the evidence in the past that says you haven't done it so far, or that every attempt has ended feeling miserable. But you cannot tell me with undeniable proof that you cannot succeed in the future. You might not believe you can, but like I said, your brain's lying to you. And the reason it's doing that is because it's trying to keep you safe. It's trying to take you away from the fear and the worry of not being able to succeed, from failure. It's ironic, isn't it, that our brain is wired to help us survive, but doesn't really take into account our happiness and well-being. It's just there to save energy and survive and keep you in what I'll say relative safety. But what if, okay, now this is what I really want you to think about as well. What if you did lose that weight, and think about it at a deep level, okay? Don't just skim over it and go, well, if I lost weight, I'd be happy. Because we've already talked about this, and happy is a different outcome to losing weight. But what would it mean? 12 months from now, having consistently shown up for yourself and achieved success on a regular basis of losing weight. And it's not to say you're going to be at your target in 12 months. For some people, yes, but for others, no. But just imagine in 12 months, through hard work and turning up for yourself, what could be achieved? How would you feel? How much healthier would you be? What might you be able to do that you currently can't do, or you do that feels absolutely awful? Be it because of the way that you look or you perceive yourself, or because of it's just too hard to do. What's currently off limits? Think about that. Or too much of a struggle, and visualize yourself as the person you wish to be. Imagine yourself in 12 months and then listen to the advice that they would give you. What would they tell you? How would they encourage you? What advice would they give you? Because you see, we have this ability to seek advice from our future self. And to be guided by that voice of success. So instead of listening to the current negative self-chatter that holds you back, and, you know, when you look at yourself and tell yourself that you look awful in the clothes that you have, or you'll never do it and you might as well give up. Because in reality, neither of those voices exist. They're just thoughts that you're having. And if they're just thoughts that you're having, why not choose to listen to the thought that can help you, that can support you? Because ultimately, if you do that, if you look at your future self who has succeeded and use them as your guide, you can listen to them. They can support you. And day by day, you will be closing that gap between that person and where you are until you are that person. And believe me, it's a lot easier than you currently may think it is. I really appreciate you listening to this episode if you're still here. And I won't lie, on some levels, it's been helpful for me to share this. It's something I believe very strongly, and it's helped me a lot on my journey. Now, it's not to say there's not going to be difficult days. There is. Some days are just a nightmare. But like I said earlier, believing in your ability to bounce back and believing in your ability to keep going no matter what happens will mean you eventually get there. Maybe it takes a week longer. Maybe it takes a month longer. It doesn't matter, because you're moving closer to it all of the time. And not only that, you're developing a sense of resilience that will help you get through anything. Honestly, it will. Now, if you want to change, but you feel stuck, I genuinely want to help you. The last time I spoke to my mate George was in the new year. And we were talking about everything, you know, all that we'd been up to, our families. I was talking to him about podcast and coaching. And I remember telling him that it feels like a calling. And I know this might sound like I'm being a bit of a hippie to some of you. But quite honestly, I don't care. It's how I feel. But I feel so deeply about having discovered this with the podcast, and almost like a duty, but something that I guess I was kind of put here to do, which, you know, up until this point, I thought it was HR and payroll. But no, joking aside, I was talking about this to him, and he said something that I mean, obviously at the time, never knew that that was going to be the last time we spoke, but I held it close to my heart then, and just, as you can imagine, has amplified since he went. But he said, "You're a fixer, mate. You listen to people, you hear their problems, and you help fix them." That really sits with me. So like I said, if you're struggling, don't take this as some pitch to sell to you. It's really not. Now, obviously, I have a 12-week coaching program, and it's not free. But if you do want to lose weight, if you do feel stuck, then let's have a conversation. I charge absolutely nothing to have an introductory call with anyone who wants to change. And I'd love to hear why you're struggling, what it is that you find hard, where your challenges and obstacles are. And I'll give you my best support and advice. Now, for some of you, that might result in you continuing and doing a 12-week coaching program with me, which would be amazing. For some of you, it won't. But in either case, I promise that I'll do my best to help you and to get you on the right path. Take care, Warrior Tribe. And a special thanks to you, George, for being such a big part of my youth. Rest easy, brother. I'd also like to say a big thank you to you, our listeners. I appreciate you joining us at the Weight Loss Warrior podcast and would love that you become part of our tribe. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast to never miss a new Weight Loss Warrior tell their story. We share brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday and hope that you join us next time. You can also find us on Instagram, where we share great tips and advice on how you can lose weight in a safe and sustainable way. Simply search for Weight Loss Warrior podcast and follow us today. Remember, be kind to yourself and keep looking forward. You can achieve your goals.